You'll testify, will you?
I'll go to a minute's help.
I think it's an earring problem.
Get yourself in a more positive frame.
Yeah, it might. It's from my
hand. Right, we'll start. Please note that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council website. In addition, please be advised that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any image or sound recording is not under the control of the council. If you have any questions about these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Services Officer who is administrating at the meeting. Don't think we've got any questions, so you're okay. Right, we'll proceed with the meeting. I need to just quickly explain, if you hear me grunt or moan or something, I fell over at the end of last week and I've cracked all my ribs. And so it won't be because I disagree with what you're saying. Right, item one, apologies please.
Councillor Brooks and Councillor Savage.
Right. Councillor Forrest is running late, she hopes to get here.
Councillor Murphy's also running late, he said he'd be about 5:15, 5:20.
Okay, thank you for that. Minutes of previous meeting. Is everybody happy for me to sign the minutes of the previous meeting? Yes?
Yes.
Anybody
yes.
objecting? Disclosures of pecuniary or personal interests. Are there any? No?
No.
We're doing well. Right. Questions under other committees, procedures 12.18. There have not been any, I don't think.
No.
No? In which case, we come on to the review for the Hackney Carriage and Private Hire Licensing Policy. Now I know this is quite a big document, and I'm sure you've all sat down and read the whole thing from front to back, but there is a very useful last few pages which I think have helped no end. So having said that, it's over to Evan's going to present it.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Chair, I'll just start introducing and hand over to Grace to go into some more detail. On the meeting of the 22nd of October, the licensing committee meeting, we put before you the draft policy, which was agreed to go out for consultation process.
Mm-hmm.
So subsequently, it has gone out for consultation, and this is the main reason for the report now is to we've collated that consultation, which Grace will go through. And highlight some of the main changes as part of that and what we're trying to achieve. And then it'll be open for yourselves to look at the recommendations to approve the Hackney Carriage and Private Hire licensing policy, which is in place for the control of the licensing process for our Hackney and Hackney Carriages, Private Hire operators and Private Hire drivers and Hackney drivers across the borough. So it's our sort of licensing control of that. And the policy outlines that and the controls that we have in place, and we review that every 3 years, if I'm correct. So this is why this is this come before you, because it's the third year and we need to look at updating it in line with changes to legislation or anything we want to include in that. So I'll hand over to Grace to go through a bit more of the detail of the consultation and what's changed.
Yes, thank you.
Nice to see you here, Grace, after all the inclement weather and everything.
I
think you've had to put up.
Tell me about it.
Thank you.
So firstly, yes, thank you to Alan for introducing it. If I pick up from where Alan's left off, the consultation letter was sent out to the trade on the 15th of November 2019, and that is the letter that's attached at Appendix B. Yeah. And as Councillor Pacey advised, it does give them a sort of a summary of what changes were to be introduced. The trade, as in the Hackney Carriage and Private Hire trade, had until 5 p.m. on the 18th of December to which to comment, and they were asked to put any comments in writing. We received two from the trade. We had an email from a combined driver, which is referred to at point 3.1 of the report. He was concerned about the requirement that all drivers sign up to the update DBS service, and asked if that was an additional cost to the drivers because some had already completed and done their DBS for their renewal at this stage. He was advised that it was a condition of licence that all existing drivers on renewing their badge was to sign up to the DBS update service. So this meant there wasn't any additional charge straight away, and that it would be on renewal, as and when they renewed, and their badge is 3 yearly. So this meant there was no change required to the policy, as the members had seen in October. Yeah. Further clarification was given to the driver to say some of the drivers have already signed up to the update service. The second comment was received from a gentleman who's not only a driver, but he also is a director of a private hire operator company within the borough. He raised three concerns, which are shown at the bullet points at 3.2. The first point is in respect of the paperwork and the fact that them as an operator work with more than one council, and a lot of the other councils have gone to an online process. And I'll comment on that afterwards. He's advised at point two that he doesn't agree with dual badges, making it very difficult to recruit new drivers for Charnwood. Again, we have looked at that, and there are proposed changes coming in, which I will comment at point four. In respect of the point system, if members remember, the policy that you saw in October changed or proposed to change the penalty point system from a 12-month period to 36 months. As a large operator, he was concerned that they would rank up, for want of a better word, their points quicker. We have gone back to him to advise that as a bigger operator, you know, he's likely to have more systems in place than a one-man band, and therefore we would expect him as an experienced and responsible operator to have the things in place to avoid said penalty points. So to go into account of those three comments, we've then looked at the proposed changes that we have made to the policy. Aside to this policy, licensing in itself is undergoing a licensing improvement project, which is alongside the council's customer service centre and the contact centre, as all three areas deliver the licensing service. Part of that transformation is to move things more online, so that works quite nicely with the driver's concern. At the moment, we are working on one particular process, and that is the new driver license application. So that's for somebody who's never held a license before with ourselves. There are more elements for a new applicant to go through. So we are currently looking at moving that all onto an online system. And the driver has been advised of that, and that we are working towards that. So we have, because of that changes through the licensing improvement project, that has also led to some further changes within the policy, which I will go on to. The knowledge test, which I believe links in to the driver's comment at 3.2, second bullet point about difficult to recruit new drivers, that is respect of the knowledge test that all drivers, whether they be Hackney or private hire, have to sit, and that is with a view to ensuring that they meet our standards and that they are aware of the area and able to work with the members of the public. So we are looking to review the current knowledge test process. At the moment they do three individual papers with law, geographical and customer care. We are going to review that format and make it into one test which will cover all three areas, law, customer care and geography. The format of the knowledge test questions will be varied to include multiple choice, true and false, and a number of directional geographical questions. We will also provide on our website and to anyone in hard copy format if they require it, a written guidance plus a sample of questions paper layout so that people are knowing what to expect when they first come in. We feel, licensing, that these improvements will significantly support applicants through the process whilst managing to maintain our satisfactory standard of license holders. Each applicant would be given the opportunity to sit the paper three times within one 12-month period. Should they fail the paper three times, they will be required to wait a further 12 months before retaking the test. It is felt that both that the knowledge is relevant to both the Hackney Carriage and the private hire driver. A pass certificate will be issued by the licensing section to each applicant on successfully passing the test, and this certificate will be valid for 2 years from the date of passing, so applicant can come back to us within that time. That is a new proposal since the policy came in front of yourselves in October as part of the licensing improvement project, and that change has been reflected in the policy at pages 17 and 18 of the actual policy. If you're looking at it in respect of the report, it's page 29. So a further procedural process which has changed in respect of the licensing improvement project and the onset of looking at transforming it to an online application process is the safeguarding training that we currently issue to drivers and private hire operators. As from, this was added to the 2017 policy to ensure that all drivers had safeguarding vulnerable passenger training. All new and existing licensed drivers since 2017 have attended and passed an in-house training course run by the licensing section, with a view to turning the process through to an online process. We have been approached by the Blue Lamp Trust, who currently provide the assessment for our practical driving tests that new drivers have to take. They have developed a course for safeguarding awareness, especially for taxis and private hire drivers. The course is £12 and it's an e-learning course that drivers can log on to in their own time, therefore preventing them from losing time on the road and earning. Both courses, they also offer a classroom one, had a multiple choice test at the end, which must be passed by the candidate, and then they're awarded a certificate. So with this in mind, we have took on board the e-learning course for all new applicants and private hire operators to be done via the link to the Blue Lamp Trust on our website. The applicant will then email the pass certificate into ourselves, and that change is reflected in the policy at Appendix A at page 22, but it's page 35 of the report, and it's been amended for the operator at point 4.2, page 50 of the report. So in conclusion, we're asking the licensing committee to consider the comments highlighted, along with the proposed amendments in section 3 and 4 above, and agree the final policy for implementation on the 1st of April. The final version of the policy is now attached for yourselves at Appendix A. The only thing I would alert yourselves to is because we are currently still working on the improvement licensing project, some of the areas of the administrative processes, which are in section 6 of the Hackney Carriage and Private Hire policy, still require further finalisation, and that is why we've asked for recommendation 2 of the report, which will allow these administrative changes to be approved by the Head of Regulatory Services. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think if you have any questions, the main thing to bear in mind is the safety of the public and the quality of the and the standard which we run in Charnwood, which is often very much greater than anywhere else. So, questions? Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Just a concern about e-learning. How can we be sure that it's the applicant who actually does the course?
Ultimately, as a lot of the e-learning courses that people do, we can't. What we are attempting to do and what we are currently working on as part of the licensing improvement project is the robustness of our form. So through that application form, we are asking the individual to sign that they have sat, undertaken and passed the safeguarding course. From a legal point of view, it's very similar to yourself. If you were to apply for a loan or a bank account, and it says, have you read the terms and conditions? This is the sort of thing we're looking at. Ultimately, if in a court of law or, you know, for ourselves, it would be the fact that they have said that they are have done the course. So if it was then a query that they then said, well, I haven't done that, I've not done sat that, I've not learnt that, there's then the fraud aspect and the fact that they've been dishonest, which our form and policy also covers.
Any more questions?
Just a comment on, just to add to that.
Yes, Chair. Yes.
I think the, you know, we had that debate ourselves really to see how we did this, and that's why we came up with the fact that they have to declare that they've undertaken that, and it's a fraudulent sort of case, potentially a case against them. I mean, obviously the main checks we do is make sure that the drivers go through the DBS process, and there's also the validity checks so they can the immigration sort
immigration,
of checks that we go through to make sure they are the right, they are the person that's applied for the post. So a lot of those checks are put in place anyway before they get to the sort of the e-learning side of it. So the e-learning is like a small part of it, but we have quite a lot of robust checks in terms of, you know, any criminal sort of convictions they've had, things like that, and making sure they are the right person that's applying. So we have a number of checks that are in place.
I suppose the only other thing I'd add is that when they're signing to say they've done it, that what they're signing makes it clear
absolutely
the seriousness of not having done
absolutely
it.
Yeah. We have quite what we've put forward to the licensing improvement project is that we want quite a robust set of declarations. And what we have asked for, and I've not yet had the confirmation that we can do it, is that the terms and conditions, they can't, it's like if you were to apply for a loan, you can't click on and send it until you've read that bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, yes.
No, I think what we do here at Charnwood is absolutely fantastic, and, you know, well done again, Grace, and licensing. The thing that concerns me is that we're making it too difficult, because you've got other authorities, as you're both aware of, and we've had this discussion, that you can just do it online or call in £100 and you get yourself a badge. And that what worries me. I think you might find a lot of taxi drivers having badges from other authorities and not from ourselves.
Unfortunately, they're not doing anything illegal.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It says more as a result of the deregulation in 2015. Prior to 2015, if you had a job that went to a private hire operator in the borough and you couldn't fulfil it, you'd got drivers off sick or on holiday or whatever, you could only subcontract that job to another borough company.
Yeah.
So it kept the work within the area. With the deregulation, we've effectively established what is called cross-border hiring, which basically means that for example, one of our bigger operators deals with 13 councils. He's got operators licenses with Wolverhampton, Leicester, Obin, Wigston, Blaby, and in effect by doing that he can cross border bookings. So in effect, if one of his cars in Charnwood can't fulfil a job, even if it's a Charnwood job, he can subcontract that to Wolverhampton. It's his firm, so that's okay. And then a Wolverhampton car and driver can do that. There is nothing legally that we can do to prevent that. We do receive complaints about other vehicles, and we do struggle to follow them up, but we do go back to the complainant and we do pass it on to the council if that complaint refers to.
Thank you.
Sorry, Jay, can I just add to that? So this is why we're bringing in a lot of these changes ourselves, to make an online process more efficient for drivers as well. So we're starting to be in comparison to other local authorities. And also we're looking at the tests we put through to make sure we still have a good standard of tests, but we support applicants coming through that process. So it's, we still have it robust, but we still support them through that process. So we're trying to still get drivers to apply in our area and go through that process, so we get more in our area as well. So we're trying to respond to those type of issues, really.
Thank you.
Can I just come back on that, Joe, before you take your next question? We will be able to monitor it. Will we be able to see a decline or an increase, or is that just a statistic that won't be there?
At the moment, unfortunately, our licensing database does lack some ability. That's being polite. but we are looking at a different database, which will hopefully help us to be more online in that respect. In the interim, we can monitor it from the number of vehicles going on and off, the number of cars coming on, the drivers. Unfortunately, we'd struggle to monitor whether we're gaining any more from outside coming into the area. But yes, we would be able to monitor numbers. Yeah, we have. If I could just add as well, from a knowledge test point of view, as Alan was saying, we have looked at a lot of what our neighbouring authorities are doing, like Leicester City and Derby City and North West Leicester, and have took on board the way they deliver their knowledge test in respect of the multiple choice, the true and false, and things like that. So we are trying to keep it in line with other councils within the area.
Good.
Just take on board what you know both Mark had said, that was one of my concerns, that when we had the one-to-one,
yes,
you know, where we did discuss about cross boundaries and things like that. And again, it's all about the residents of Charnwood or the non-residents who are using this service, the paramount, the safety, and we discussed that there's a database there that is not quite robust. We do have a monitoring process. You also spoke about a mentoring in terms of helping and lessons learnt in other councils, whatever. So from my perspective, and having spoke to you at length recently, I think that, you know, there's some good work doing, and you know, obviously safety is paramount.
If I may, Chair, nationally there are licensing bodies such as the National Association of Licensing Enforcement Officers and the Institute of Licensing that have gone to Parliament, and our own trade have gone to Nicky Morgan when she was PM, and have gone, and that's gone to Parliament, and they are looking at trying to bring in a minimum national standard, because as you've commented, some councils are less robust as others. Some councils have got a better budget than others, so there is a difference in what people are doing, and they are looking at bringing a more national remit.
Because at the minute it's like trying to measure apples and oranges,
well,
isn't it?
At the moment, from a licensing act point or a gambling act point of view, they're very government led. You have to write a policy, the policy has to contain so much, and you all have national forms. Taxi licensing, there is no such requirement. So every council does it different. And that's one of the things that can cause confusion.
Okay.
Yep.
Any more questions? In which case, I have to ask,
excuse me,
for your approval. Is everybody happy for this to go ahead?
Personally,
just
yes.
Just have a show of hands. And nobody against it. then that's taken forward.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Other than that, I think all we've got is the dates for next meetings, and the meeting is then closed.
I am right on the date of the next meeting.